Remember, you're part of an exclusive club this season. Like, without getting into what happened tonight, it was already exclusive. Most of the games are going to be on ESPN Plus this season. It's our own secret club. Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt. This was Game 2 Monmouth. And if you want to think about the basketball gods, in Game 1, they gave us Mo State, which was a sign that West Virginia was going to win. Nothing to point to for the Monmouth jerseys tonight. But for West Virginia, they went with the camo look in honor of Veterans Day. And salute to veterans. Thank you for your service. It wasn't a great, I don't know, not that that was a sign from the gods that this one was going to be in question. It just was a different look. Let's just describe WVU's jerseys tonight as different. And I've talked about on this podcast that this is a exclusive VIP club. I've also said on this podcast that West Virginia goes into this season with zero expectations. And results like tonight are going to test that theory. Because when you lose to Monmouth at home, your reaction is, oh, they shouldn't do that. And when you react, they shouldn't do that, then that means there's an expectation. And then you got to go back to, if you're with me on their zero expectations from a fan standpoint, then you got to follow that through. And there are going to be results this season where you're just going to have to think about what the expectations are as a fan. And so Monmouth came into this one. Ken Pomeroy's computer has been plugged in since the 1998-1999 season. He plugged that computer in the previous millennium. And we're 26 seasons. That computer's been on for 26 seasons. And tonight, Monmouth came into this game as the 300th ranked Division I basketball team in the country out of 362 teams. So that's not very good. And Monmouth lost to George Mason in their opener, a team that West Virginia beat barely in a crazy exhibition game because of what happened with the Cook. So that's true that West Virginia lost to number 300 in the KenPom, but we also know the circumstances around this team to where that makes it a possibility. When I was going back to look, what was the lowest ranked team West Virginia has lost to in the KenPom rankings since the computer's been on? Lots of Duquesne losses. Really struggled with Duquesne. I think Catlett has at least one. Beeline had a Duquesne loss, and I think Huggins fell foe to the Duquesne Dukes. He couldn't even get past Duquesne. And Duquesne and Marshall take those coveted below 200 spots in candidates for worst, according to KenPom's computer, losses in WVU history. So when you lose the 300, that doesn't feel good, but I can only speak from my experience. Zero pacing in this game, even when it was getting away. Very heart, blood pressure not rising when this is happening. And that's what grounds me, is zero expectations. And also, these are the guys that wanted to be here. At a base level, Seth Wilson, who did not have a good night, Kobe Johnson, who did not have a great night. This is their third year with the team. They could have packed it up last year when West Virginia was recruiting guards out of the portal. They couldn't have done it this offseason, even before the craziness where West Virginia was recruiting guards out of the transfer portal. They're here. They want to be here. And the transfer window was open, then it closed, then it opened again. You know why. And everybody could have left. And they didn't. They're here. And in fact, some of the guys on the team are on this team after the transfer portal opened for the second time. So that's another grounding thing of like, these guys want to wear the golden blue in a crazy, crazy offseason that's transpired. So it doesn't feel good. And I know it feels terrible in the locker room with the coaches and the players, but these are our guys in a crazy situation. Coach Eilert, he's coached his second ever basketball game as a head coach, maybe ever, definitely at the Division I level. His second game, two. And he got, I would argue, Josh Eilert got out-coached tonight by a coach. I don't know how good he is, but he's kept his job for, I believe, 12 or 13 seasons at Monmouth. And tonight was his 384th game. And guess what? I think every coach that Josh Eilert is going to coach against this year, the guy he's facing has more experience. I'm going out on a limb. Unless coaching turnover happens during the season, that's going to be, from experience, a disadvantage. And King Rice, who was Monmouth's coach, he went almost exclusively zone in the second half to take away Jesse Edwards, because I am 0-0 as a Division I basketball coach. But if I'm looking at the other side and seeing Jesse Edwards, if you have Jesse Edwards on your team, this particular team, you want to get him the ball as much as possible. Mo State, they mix it up man and zone, but they went at it from, in man-to-man, let's double, triple, quadruple team Jesse Edwards. The zone takes care of that, where they can't get them the ball in the zone. And so you're shooting over the zone. West Virginia was extremely patient with Monmouth's zone in the second half. Very little penetration into the zone. And I guess technically they got some decent shots. They all were from distance. And West Virginia went 7 for 32 from 3. A lot of front rim. Why? 8 guys. Josiah, Seth, and Kobe went a combined 4 for 21 from 3. And so if that's the answer to the zone, and the answer's not Jesse Edwards, then you got to do better. You obviously got to do better than 4 for 21. And they cannot. And listen, offensively for Monmouth, I've seen this before. I've seen the guard that gets hot in the non-conference schedule. My go-to is Fats Russell, but plenty of guys I've never heard of in November have come to the Coliseum and given the Mountaineers fits. And this guy, the coach's son, he had a career high 30 tonight. And some he got easier than others, but some of those shots in the second half was not because of bad defense. Hand in the face, and the guy just nailed it. So I've seen that one before. And with 8 guys available, we've got the second. We're 2 games in. Both games, 2 different players have had cramps near the end of the game because they're playing a ton of minutes that they probably weren't expecting to play. I don't know how to solve that one. We had this with Taz Sherman a couple of seasons ago. In my head, everybody's just gotta be super hydrated. And maybe they still cramp up. But how do you know? Obviously, if they're front rimming a bunch, you're like, all right, they don't have any legs. It's game 2 of 30 plus. So that's a problem that we're going to get at least one more guy in 8 games from now. And Creasa, hopefully others can join this exclusive club, or they've just got to be super hydrated. You just got to IV bags, whatever you got to do. We can't every game a different guy be in a short bench anyways, not be able to play because they're cramping up.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
And again, here, what stinks and why it's a luxury for me in my position of not getting frustrated and upset and blood pressure rising and pacing and having zero expectations is that the players and the coaches aren't afforded that. These are, I mean, NIL is involved with college athletics now, but it's not professional sports where it's like the idea, you can't tank. I know this is very easy to understand. You can't tank in college basketball. There's no incentive to lose for anybody involved. And Josh Eilert and the new coaching staff, they have it the toughest because they have expectations, i.e., they got to win enough to try to keep their jobs. Not that they'll never get another basketball job again, but the ideal thing would be to meet their expectation of doing enough to get not interim status and continue being coaches at WVU. And from a coaching standpoint, what can you do in West Virginia's current predicament? The previous head coach, sometimes he would do a line change. Five out, five in. That is not, even if Creasa comes back and you have nine, it's not an option. You literally can't take all five guys off the court. So you got, like, these are your guys, and you've got to roll with what you have and figure it out with your, for the next eight games, the eight guys who can play. So Les Bembry, Les Sumnick tonight, and really outside of Quinn, just not a lot offensively. I don't know that it even, I'm listening to myself talk and it sounds like I'm frustrated. I'm really not. It's a bad look, and you can't help but think, all right, well, I mean, I guess this game, if you're with me on the zero expectations, then every game, no matter the spread, I mean, because West Virginia went into this, I believe, the last time I checked, they were a 14-point favorite. I don't know if that line moved. But you could, I don't think anybody is below 300. I'm looking at it right now. West Virginia dropped from 65th before the game in the KenPom ratings to 88. So West Virginia is not going to play a lower ranked team than who they played tonight. Now, Monmouth jumped from 300 to 238th. So take a bow, WVU. In Ken Pomeroy's computer, that is worth 62 spots in the KenPom rankings. So, I mean, glass half full. You know, there's two sides to look at that. But you've got Bellarmine. You've got Jacksonville State next week. They're in the 200s. None of these could be taken for granted as like, this is a win, especially right now. I've been saying survive in advance in November. It's just survive now. Start with eight players, finish with eight players, and try to have more points at the end than the other team. And they didn't have enough tonight. And it's a credit to Monmouth. The TV guys reminded me, because West Virginia's played Monmouth in the past, one of those November tournaments, they struggled with Monmouth. I believe that was Was it the sad season? I don't remember which one. Yeah, it was the sad season in Myrtle Beach. They came back to beat Monmouth and then lost to Western Kentucky. And then that season finished with a sad tournament. And so, like, if you have expectations for this season, then the positives are this probably isn't the same team that they'll have. Definitely won't be the same team that they have in eight games when Kerr comes back. A cook, we learned in Eilers' press conference earlier this week that he's trending in a positive direction. So that's always great to hear. I love positive trends. And so I just want, just in life, good health for a cook. Selfishly for this basketball team, him being cleared to play, if he feels good with it and the doctors feel good with it, that helps this team's ceiling. I don't think a cook is the difference tonight in the result, but just being able to think about it. If you get Kerr back and you get a cook back, then the line change is possible. Not that I'm wanting Josh Eidler to take out five guys at the same time. I just want that to be a possibility at all times. I've seen it more than once in the previous head coaching stint. And I always enjoyed it. I always thought it was funny. And sometimes, especially in moments in this second half, it's a weird thing to do in the second half to do a line change. But you just want to, you know what? I don't like this. Let me try. I want to see all new faces out there. And if you get a cook back and Kerr back and everybody else is healthy, then that's in the cards. And then the real one, Raekwon Battle. I think Battle being available to play tonight does make a big difference in the outcome of this game, to where they don't lose to the now 238th best team in Division One. Battle, if his appeal is approved. Now, we've been getting some mixed results as far as waiver appeals. One of the guys from Cincinnati who got their waiver denied, his appeal was denied. So that stinks. But then a guy at Cal, his waiver appeal was approved. So he became eligible. Everybody's situation is different. This news tends to come out middle of the week. So it probably doesn't take effect for the Jacksonville State game next week. But maybe we hear something next week, and then Battle could be in the mix when West Virginia goes to Fort Myers. All ifs. I'm looking for the glass half full stuff. The positives are the coach is going to keep getting more experience. The players, maybe the players check out, but I have a hard time believing that in this situation that they're going to check out. And so thus, they can learn from this and improve and get more guys in the mix and get better. That's your positive. But it's on paper, very rough loss. Very rough loss. And in life. On paper and in life, this is a tough one. Tough one to swallow. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. When I say that, what does that mean? What's under the Smoking Musket umbrella? Well, obviously, there's smokingmusket.com, where you can read articles about WVU sports. There's the X feed at Smoking Musket. There's the Discord channel, where you can talk to like-minded people about all the different things WVU and outside of WVU. Very cool place to hang out and talk with folks. Also, another podcast is under the umbrella. About WVU football, West by Pod, bowl eligible WVU, going to Norman for the final time as playing their Big 12 opponent, Oklahoma, with the stakes of the Big 12 championship game. WVU still in the mix in November. Joel and Jordan are going to talk about that. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the Smoking Musket umbrella. Smoking Musket. The next game for WVU is Tuesday, November 14th in the Coliseum, game VIP, ESPN Plus. West Virginia will face the Jacksonville State Gamecocks. Jacksonville, Alabama, don't get it twisted. And yes, this one's going to mean more. Jacksonville State, as everybody knows, is coached by Rich Rodriguez, who coached at WVU in the past, went to Michigan, went to Arizona, Google all that, finds himself back at Jacksonville, not back at Jacksonville State, finds himself at Jacksonville State, and he's put a good season together. So this is going to be a tough task for WVU. There's history there, you know? Jacksonville State, they took the bump up to Conference USA. They were picked last in the Conference USA preseason poll. They got a 6'10", 280 guy. So that's always exciting to see really big dude play basketball. And really, they haven't played a Division I team yet. Not sure what they're bringing to Morgantown. But West Virginia is coming off a really bad loss, and they are getting a few days rest. Can West Virginia, just like every game, finish with more points than Jacksonville State? And if they do, they're going to win the game. In the Mo State episode, I was talking about life lessons. What's the life lesson tonight? There's always another game until it's the end of the season. Okay, so there's not always another game, but there's always another game after the second game of the season. And so the next game for WVU is Jacksonville State. It's time to get back on the horse and keep trying. This will be Josh Eilert's third game that he's coached. So he's getting reps. You know, think about Seth Wilson. I think he started a handful of games, not a lot. Kobe Johnson, handful of games, not a lot. Offrey, second game played in the United States. That was Jeremiah Bembry's second college game ever, right? Josiah Harris, I don't think if he started last year, it was maybe once or twice. He doesn't have a lot of reps as a starter. And so all these guys are getting another rep on Tuesday night, and don't tell anybody that they're playing. And I'm seeing, you know, the internet's a terrible place to make presumptions, but I wouldn't describe it as toxic tonight. There is some healthy, we know how WVU basketball got here, and rooting for them moving forward, regardless of results. But the only way to, you know, is the only way to fight back after losing tonight is go out and play and win the next one. It's very basic stuff, but this might end up being a self-help podcast. By the end of the season, just not talking zero about basketball and 100% about life lessons. Is that good for the podcast? Probably not, but we'll do that together. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Pocket Casts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt, Josh Eilert for the 2023-2024 season. Matter of fact, WVU for the 2023-2024 season. They have one win and they have one loss.
Everyone has that one goal, that thing they want to prove, not to other people, but to themselves. Then right when you think you could actually do it, cancer. And that goal is still within reach. I would know. I'm about to run my first ever marathon with my two best friends. 3 years after having cancer.
At least we look good in these shorts.
Woo! Let's get it, guys. You, keep making plans.
Visit OhioHealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.